Welcome to the Home Business Podcast with Richard Captain Henderson, publisher of Home Business Magazine, and Sherilyn Colleen, managing editor. This how-to show helps you successfully operate your home-based business.
Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Podcast. I'm Richard Captain Henderson, your host of Home Business TV.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen, your co-host.
Let's secure for C and get underway. Is the gig up? Can you thrive in the gig economy?
The gig economy is growing to be a dominant economic sector of the home business economy. Joining us today to navigate the gig economy is Olga Mizrahi.
Hi. Olga Mizrahi is a national speaker and marketing expert on the gig economy. She's an instructor in the digital marketing program of the University of California, Irvine, and an Airbnb open speaker.
Olga is the author of The Gig Is Up, Thrive in the Gig Economy, where old jobs are obsolete and freelancing is the future. So greetings, Olga Mizrahi. Say hello to our podcast audience.
Hello, Home Business audience.
Hi.
So excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on our show.
Okay, all engines ahead, standard. At the end of today's show, we'll share with you our best home-based business tips. Today's tip, what is the easiest way to increase sales of a product that you sell? Stay tuned and we'll give you the answer at the end of today's show.
So what are some ways to make the most of this time we're living in, this time where gig shared is becoming the norm?
Well, Sherilyn, before we even go down that road, I think that the gig economy as a term is super confusing. Mm-hmm. Like most people want to know what the heck it is. So if we take a look at it and we say, is it just this, like if I'm an Uber driver or an Airbnb host, is it contract work? Is it freelancing? How about those people that get the jobs? Maybe there's solopreneurs out there that get a contract or a project. Like, are they part of the gig economy? Well, the answer is yes. The gig economy is incredibly diverse. It can include temporary workers, contract workers, consultants, I mean, even freelance CEOs, right? Entrepreneurs. Because basically what's happening is that more and more of us are working based on project or contract or possibly in an app rather than employed with benefits full time. Mm-hmm. So your question was, how do we make the best out of it and how do we make the most out of it? Well, there is a lot of opportunity. So first, people are coming to me and being very scared about it because it's change. One out of every two people by the year 2020 will identify as being part of the gig economy, whether that's a side gig or a full-time thing, or maybe, again, you started your own business and everything you have is project-based. That makes you part of the gig economy too. So I think as more platforms come out, because right now we have dozens, if not hundreds, start making yourself familiar with some of those things. You may have taken an Uber, you may have stayed at an Airbnb, but there are dozens of platforms, whether they're just online from a web-based or as part of an app, that you can explore, depending on your industry, right? So something like Upwork.
Sorry about that.
Somebody is contacting you right now to watch their dog.
I'm such an important person.
Good timing.
That was like the first call I got.
Yeah, just.
I got all day. Of course, it comes in on then.
Sorry about that.
So, you know, kind of looking at this gig economy, what some of the nuts, some of the nuggets you're talking about there is it's pretty diversified and widespread. And so, what you try to get started is look at where your talents are and where your skills are. And where you have a background in, and it's safe to assume you could probably find something in the gig economy that'll be a good fit for you.
And start using it yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're telling me you don't need a dog walker every so often, or I think I was scrolling through my Facebook feed and I came across some ad for an app, I think it was called like Soothe or something, that a certified masseuse could come to my home or office. And I was like, oh, that sounds so good. Right?
Yeah,
all of a sudden, actually, oh gosh, maybe my only options before were working for a spa, but now I can actually do that on my own. I was recently in a wedding and the entire bridal party had booked all of their hair and makeup off of an app.
Oh. So there's a connection with an app. It sounds like a lot of people working in the gig economy, a connection there to getting to your client base is to find an app.
It can be, but surprisingly, only 4% of workers out there actually take advantage of getting their income from an app.
Oh, okay. Well, you know,
that's growing every day.
Expanding on, right, you know, expanding on an app, what are some tools that you recommend for getting started then in the gig economy?
Okay. So I think that the number one thing is understanding or starting to explore your own unique value proposition. Mm-hmm. So if we take a look at the apps as tools, and even something like LinkedIn as a tool to get something known about you, then the question is, what is it? What can I know about you in order to answer the number one question, which is why choose you? Why choose you or your company to, you know, part with my hard-earned cash, right? The number
one
mistake.
You gotta build that online profile, and that leads to your credibility.
It leads to your credibility, and it also gets you out of this place where people tend to talk about themselves in ERs, better, faster, stronger, cheaper, and you need to be an EST. That is, you're the best. And what is it that you're the best at that makes me pay attention? Because otherwise, an ER, you're not going to pay attention to that. There's a reason why we have extreme Doritos, people.
Oh. So,
like, there's no possible reason we need extreme Doritos, right? But it's there in order to have attention.
Well, you know, I remember that. I don't think about Doritos, but now you think about extreme Doritos. So you're saying you got to move away from focusing on being better. I mean, of course, you have to be better, but, you know, the S then being, you know, differentiating yourself by being the best.
So you can also kind of call that the X factor of why you stand out and why you're the best.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes you can't be the best in a very large marketplace, right? And so that's why you hear a lot in terms of starting your business and doing well in business and growing business in terms of finding a niche, right? We hear about that all the time. Well, now you have all of these large marketplaces that you can go out and explore your competition and say, how can I qualify what I do in order to be the best in that segment? So if you're local and one of the things that you do requires a face-to-face, like my bookkeeper comes to me every single month. I need her here or it's not getting done. Mm-hmm. You know, I could use a virtual bookkeeper, but it just wouldn't be the same. Right. I need that one-on-one time with her so that she can like rattle me and say, you need to get these invoices out, right? And so one of her value points is that she comes to my office once a month. And that's something that could only be done in my local area, right? It's not mm-hmm. like somebody's going to fly in from New York to Long Beach, California. So you have to kind of know what those things are. In my first book, Sell Local, Think Global, we talked a lot about when local is a factor, how to make yourself stand out in that local space and then move on to a worldwide audience. Now with the gig economy, it's like, it's everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So you can try to find either whether it's via app or online platform or even otherwise, meaning a recommendation on LinkedIn for those things that you are best at.
That's right. Well, before moving on to our next topic, I'd like to highlight this show's sponsor, Cruises, Inc. Make your life's work a vacation. Work from home selling cruises. Take the first step and reach out to their business opportunity specialist in business since 1982 with 600-plus independent contractors. For more information, call 877-515-3470 or visit sellcruises.com or our podcast website for more information on sponsors.
Now, what are some of the hurdles we are most likely to encounter when it comes to making this a full-time thing?
All right. Well, anybody that has started their own business will tell you that one of the hardest things to do is leap, right? Mm-hmm. You're there. You got that little side gig going on. But sometimes it's not by choice that you're going to have to make this leap. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's the idea of like, well, maybe I can start preparing a little bit more. Both through those personal branding ways and making connections. That's one way. But there's other things that you're not going to think about. Like, for instance, loneliness. When you're out on your own, right? When you're working from home, it's sometimes tough. You now are also your own mental health caretaker. And I think that forming the community, like the home business community that you guys have, right? And finding maybe some other online communities or even local in-person communities can really help you with that. And it also allows you to bounce ideas off of people and almost form like a little advisory board. And if you're lucky, you get to form some alliances too. So that can help you leap, right? Go on to a project with someone that maybe has a more recognizable brand than you. Do really well on that project and let it keep propelling you forward.
So get out there, network with people within the community. They don't have to be in your actual industry, just, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, places where you can network, but also look at people more senior to you or more experienced in your gig niche and, you know, partner with them to get started. And then that can help you make this, you know, make this leap to full time.
Sounds good, Richard.
Well, you know, how to make the leap from side hustle full time? There must be, this anxiety, you know, is there any other, does this come up at any other times? You know, the anxiety?
Oh, I think everybody has that anxiety, not only from side hustle to full time, but just making the leap in general. I think the difference is now we even get to have this side hustle. We get to almost try before you buy with some of these projects and see if that's really something that you're passionate about. You know, sometimes you get into something and it's really not the business that you want to be in. Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to someone earlier today and her specialization is virtual assisting, but in reality, she doesn't really like it. So she hired a whole host of others that she now manages and she knows all about that business, but she doesn't have to do it every single day.
So it's good to kind of hit this anxiety topic a little bit more because that the anxiety could be telling you something, you know, that, you know, you need to take some action or make some adjustments. It's not just anxiety for the sake of anxiety. There may be something there you need to pull the string on a little bit and take action with and make some adjustments.
I think one of the questions you can ask yourself is if you're willing to be a lifelong learner. Mm-hmm. You know, I certainly am, and I learn new things every single day, like from you guys on your wonderful website. But, you know, there's a complacency sometimes when you're in a full-time position for a very long time. And the gig economy doesn't have a lot of tolerance for that. You have to kind of keep learning and keep bringing in, you know, honing your skills and keep upping the level.
Yeah, I guess a little bit on the gig economy, it's kind of survival of the fittest and, you know, the marketplace will be ruthless. So, you know, you don't, like you're saying,
you're
you don't have that.
You're scaring everybody, Richard. That's not necessarily the case. A lot of satisfaction, a lot of flexibility, especially if you're a mom, you get to see your kid every day, you get to pick them up from school. That's the number one reason that people are gig workers or they start their own business anyway, is for flexibility, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things that these kind of app platforms take away from, let's say, the difference between being in the gig economy as part of one of these platforms, as opposed to starting your own business, is it gives one of those anxieties a little bit of a foundation, which is getting paid, right? Mm-hmm. Getting paid. You know, I'm not only somebody who runs my own business, but I'm also on a couple of these platforms myself. I'm an Airbnb super host and an Airbnb experience host here in Southern California. And if somebody books my Airbnb, that money goes into an escrow account. As soon as they check in, I get that money. I don't have to ever hound them. I don't have to worry about a declined credit card, right? So the technology is what is driving the gig economy. And the number one thing is this, what's sitting in your pocket, what's sitting on your nightstand. May I ask you guys a question?
Sure. We don't want to just be the ones asking the question.
What was your first smartphone?
First smartphone. I think I've always been an iPhone girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
You remember which
iPhone?
I've been
the Samsung, you know, the
you've been the, oh, I like how you guys are separate. That's cool. Which iPhone did you get, your first one?
Four, I'd say.
A four. Okay.
Four. Yeah.
And then Richard, do you remember what year you got your first smartphone?
Oh, like 2013, 2014.
Okay, 2013. So in my research, what I found is the huge factor was 2012. 2012 was like rocket fuel. You look at it and it's a hockey stick. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that, so the iPhone just turned 10, right? It came out in around 2007. It turned 10 back in November. And I ask sometimes when I'm speaking in front of an audience, you know, who had the first iPhone? And some people raise their hands. And then I ask them kind of a trick question. I say, how many apps were in the App Store? Do you guys know?
No.
Probably zero. A lot less than now.
Zero. Big old goose egg. Nothing. Because you didn't have, among other things, the bandwidth, the computing power, all of that stuff to where when you look at, in the United States anyway, when the phone carriers finally got to a place of like LTE networks where we had enough coming through where we could stream stuff, let's say, or really rapidly communicate, that really is around 2012. Mm-hmm. And that's when you see, boom, 500,000 apps in the App Store. Right now we probably have about 3 or 3.5 million. So, you know, it made a huge difference. So it's like, we've always had freelancers. We've always had solopreneurs, but this is what's different. It's the rocket fuel that's driving this growth everywhere.
So a lesson is to figure out how you can get linked into that rocket fuel with your gig. And that's,
you've got it. You've got it right now in your pocket. There are people that I know that run their business 100% from their phone. Hmm. You know, so, you know, there's something out there for everyone. It's just a question of whether you're willing to put the work in to research it, get to know your competition, get to know kind of where you might fit in that market and bring other people in. So it's not just you and your silo, you know?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah. Great to keep in mind. So on to another topic, have you seen any unethical behavior in your research or experiences, and what should we be on the lookout for?
Look, I think there's a whole chapter on ethics in the book, and there's this one I'm going to show you guys here on the screen. I decided to kind of look at ethics from the freelancer's perspective, because we could go into a whole other show about how certain apps make certain things unethical, like how you treat your workers or certain lawsuits that are out there. And there is no argument from me that you will get that governments are trying to catch up. They don't even know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of confusion between, you know, somebody who says their technology is unregulated versus, you know, somebody who says, nope, these should all be employees and all that stuff. So we're not going to talk about that.
So so the kind of thing with the unethical is that the government, the regulation isn't catching up. And so you have to be extra wary of.
And yet, are you going to give up your Uber or your Airbnb? You know, there are certain things that are just disruptive forces. And so we can yell and scream that they're unfair, which they absolutely could be, because you could be doing something on an app where you, like, after you take out the fees and this and that, you're like, I'm making minimum wage. But I got news for everybody. Anybody that's ever started a business has been on negative wages, right? So there's that.
Like, I'm still on negative wages. We're starting to get a little short on time. Who's going to thrive the most in the gig economy? You know, the behaviors and characteristics. And I think, you know, we've been kind of hitting those throughout the show. You know, some of the characteristics are being flexible and staying up on technology and what's coming your way, and, you know, being with some forethought on apps. Can you think of any other behaviors and characteristics that will thrive best in the gig economy?
The characteristic that will serve you best is being on the same page with whoever you're doing the work for. And so it is on you to communicate more, to have processes and systems in place for those checkpoints. And that's true probably for any business, right? That's one of the things that makes a business exemplary is customer service. That doesn't end when you go to, you know, Upwork and you hire somebody. That person will be like, look, I don't have enough to get this project started. Can you answer these 5 questions for me? Right? As opposed to 2 weeks later, you don't get what you need and you're like, what's going on here? They never had the information that they needed.
So extra emphasis on communication. And my most important, making sure you're getting feedback on that communications.
Well, if you set expectations, you exceed those expectations, and then on the back end of that, you get feedback, ideally in a public forum like LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah, the reviews.
Then you've got that kind of loop working for you. And a lot of times it's not until you get those reviews, because it's so hard to look at yourself, right? You can look in a mirror, but you're not going to see it. You're going to see that when you start seeing your reviews. Case in point. My Airbnb that I host is in the mountains. It's in a ski resort area. I had no idea that people loved the wood-burning fireplace as much as they did. I never had that in the top of the description or in the front of anything. And it wasn't until I started getting reviews that I was like, duh, people have this idea, this romantic idea of going to a cabin in the woods and burning an actual fire. It's not something that they do back home in Los Angeles, right? And yet most of Mammoth, like a lot of modern ski resorts, have an ordinance against burning wood fires. So any modern building that's there doesn't have it. Mine's grandfathered in. So all of a sudden I was like, hey, that's a unique value proposition point. I need to put that in towards the top of stuff.
And you learn about those from your customers and the feedback.
You know that from the reviews. That's right. That's hard though, getting reviewed. I'm sure most of your listeners too know what that is, especially if they're on Yelp. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are there any specific strategies you'd recommend for retirees looking for a second act or parents juggling their kids?
Hey, I think it's just get yourself familiar with what is actually available out there. If only 4% of the workforce right now is taking advantage of these digital platforms, that means that there's opportunity for you to find a particular niche. And by the way, sometimes it's just getting your foot in the door, seeing what they're all about and saying, eh, this isn't for me, but guess what? I got to discover how to sell myself, how to position myself, how to go out there and speak about these things.
Well, Olga, Ms. Rahi, this has been a great discussion on thriving in the gig economy. Do you have any other final points to share with our audience?
I think that one of the hardest things when we're coming into what to do in the future of work, is personal branding and even like putting yourself on video. That's kind of tough for people. So later this year, I'll be looking at that in terms of a course, kind of personal branding, making a video probably in about 15 minutes or less. So that's over at chunkofchange.com. I'm looking for the beta testers for right now.
Okay, audience, you hear that? Cool. She's looking for the beta testers. That sounds like a good opportunity to define your brand.
Yep. So you get to have me for a little bit all to yourselves while we develop this product.
Exciting.
Right. Well, Olga Mizrahi, thank you for being such a great guest on the Home Business Podcast.
Oh, you say that to everybody, but
you've been
an exceptional guest. Yeah, and you helped us work through some technical difficulties. So,
no worries. Hopefully there's no more technical difficulties.
No, I think we got them straightened out.
Everybody's
technology,
having a great day.
What were we talking about? Technology is always the linchpin.
Well, to learn more about Olga Mizrahi, visit our podcast website at homebusinessmag.com for more information.
Okay, the answer to today's home business tip. What's the easiest way to boost products of a product you sell? Offer free shipping. It doesn't cost that much extra. Work the cost of the shipping into the price of the product. It will boost your e-commerce sales in particular by adding perceived value. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Home Business Podcast. Share your feedback with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at our website, homebusinessmag.com.
Visit the website for information on advertising. Subscribe free to our newsletter. Please visit our sponsors. For more information, visit homebusinessmag.com or our expo at homebusinessexpo.com.
I'm Richard Captain Henderson saying anchors away.
And I'm Sherilyn Colleen. We'll talk with you soon. Until then,
make it a great home-based biz day.